See, here we are at the midpoint of Sefer Shmos. We're about to step into Truma Tetzava, Kisisa Vayachar Pekudei, what seems like basically the second half of Sefer Shmos, the description of how to go about the Tzivuyim and the actual building of the Mishkan, which itself is sort of strange. We maybe touched on this a little bit a couple weeks ago. It's actually incredibly strange that this is the second half of Shmos, because you would think this should be the first half of the third of the Chumashim. Instead of it being Sefer Vayikra, you would have expected it actually be Sefer Truma. You would have expected that Sefer Torah's Kohanim, which deals very significantly with Karbanos, should have begun with how you build the Mishkan, how you clothe the Kohanim, Truma Tetzava V'Yakta Pikudei, then you move on to how you bring Karbanos. Yikra, Tzav, Shmini, so on and so forth, and Halachas of Tumah Utara, which, by the way, is the way the Rambam, the great master organizer, and the Rambam presents it. He has two Svarim dedicated to Halachas of Kachim, Avoda and Karbanos, and Sefer Avoda begins with the Halachas of how you build the Beis HaMikdash. Sefer Hilchos Beis HaMikdash, then he talks about how you clothe the Kohanim, Kli HaMikdash Va'ovdim Bo, and then he moves on to talk about Ma'aser Karbanos, how you bring Karbanos, all the rules and regulations, and Sefer Avodah, Sefer Karbanos, then Sefer Tahara. You would have expected that Chumash would be organized where the Rambam is organized. Sefer Torah's Kohanim, the third of the five Chumashim, should have started with Truma, Tetzave, Vayakut, Pekudei, then Vayikra, Tzav, Shemini, Tazriyam, and Torah. It would have made so much sense. So why are we? Why are we in the middle of Sefer Shmos? We ought to be beginning the third Sefer. If Sefer Shmos is, as the Ramban puts it, and as the English names would have it, the Sefer of Golos and Geula, the book of Exodus. So l'chora, that's done. We finished that already. That was the first half of Sefer Shmos. But that should be the entirety of Sefer Shmos. Did we touch on this at all? Early weeks? Two kashas. The Ramban opens Sefer Shmos with two kashas, which I think we touched on a little bit. I think the last time we focused more on the first kasha, he points out that the Sefer Shmos starts too early. Sefer Shmos begins by jumping back to the middle of Vayigash. Sefer Shmos begins by was reviewing the fact that the Yaakov Uvanov came down to Mitzrayim. And he wants to know how come we have to chazer at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, you have to chazer back to Vayigash. But the other problem is not only does Sefer Shmos seem to begin a few psukim too early, but it seems to run a whole half the Sefer too long. So what he says at he develops it very, very briefly in the Hakdama. He develops it beautifully right here. In the opening to Parshas Truma, or he put the Seder Vezosa Truma, he takes all of Sefer Shmos up until this point, or much of Sefer Shmos up until this point, particularly Yisro Mishpatim, and shows how Yisro Mishpatim blends very smoothly into Truma. He gets into that zone where he's just sort of like storytelling, he's just sort of talking and taking you through the story, sort of the view from 30,000 feet, and you could miss the fact that he's actually dropping in incredible chidushim. Let's take a look. Kasher diber Hashem in Yisrael panim b'fanim. Aseres ha-dibros. I assume that's a typo. Aseres ha-dibros. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu had spoken to Klal Yisrael, so to speak, face to face, he spoke to them the Aseres HaDibros, and Siva Osam Ali De Moshe, Tzas Mitzvos, Shehim Kumo Avos, L'mitzvoseha Shal Torah. He gives Klal Yisrael a handful of mitzvos, Aseres HaDibros, and even the other mitzvos that appear afterwards. The end of Yisrael, maybe he's even referring to the beginning of Mishpatim, in which case, calling them Avos is definitely a fantastic pun. But he's saying that the handful of mitzvahs that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us were like the headers, the Avos. The headers are sort of categories that will include the vast majority of mitzvahs that are yet to come. Kasher in Hebrew, Avoseinu Magerim, Shebam Lehisei. Much as Chazal tells in Masachas Yevamos, that anytime you accept a ger, I think we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. Anytime you accept a ger, so there are formal act meisim of gerus. There's mila for a male ger, and there's a tvila for both a male and a female ger or gioris. Betkufas HaMikdash, there was a carbon. In addition to the masim of Geirus, the essence of Geirus is the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. Even the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, we have it has a formalized part to it as well. I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago that the last moment for the Geirus, the neck deep in the waters of the mikveh, we tell him, you still have total choice, is totally yours. You could choose to go ahead with the Geirus, or you could choose to, you could change your mind. No harm, no foul. And then he says, no, I want to go ahead with this. We go through a sort of a formalized Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs is in essence. Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs means that the Ger is interested in embracing Kol Torah Kul, embracing being part of Am Yisrael. But there's a formalized conversation that reflects that inner essence. We go through mitzvahs, mitzvahs, kalos, mitzvahs, mitzvahs, chamuros. We give him a hand. I don't go through every single one of the Torah mitzvahs. But we go through a handful of easy mitzvahs, a handful of hard mitzvahs. You accept this, yes, you accept that, yes. You accept this, yes, you accept that, yes, and then we say, do you accept Kol Torah Kul? Do you accept the Kari Amunah? Do you accept to be part of Am Yisrael, for better and for worse? So, just as Chazal expect in every generation that we go through a formalized process in the Kabbalah Mitzvahs of Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs Kalos, and Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs Chamuros, just like there's always this sampling as part of the Geirus process, so he says that's what it was at Har Sinai as well. By the way, just stop for a moment, he's just sort of smoothly telling the story. I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago, there's a machlokas, how to understand the purpose of the Aseres Adibros. Was the purpose of the Aseres Adibros the sampling, the mitzvahs, mitzvahs, kalos, mitzvahs, mitzvahs, chamuros, because Har Sinai in a certain sense was the Geirus of Kol Israel? Or was it meant to be categories that encompass all of the mitzvahs as details of that Aseres Adibros? You'll notice the Ramban very smoothly just said both. Just without making a big deal of it, he said, oh, there's the obvious mitzvah of Aseres Torah, and that's how Chazal has set up throughout the generations the process of Geirus. He's very smoothly had synthesized both approaches. And then he says, Yisrael Kibbalim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this offer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this presentation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to meet us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented the highlights of Kol Torah Kula, and Yisrael Kiblu Aleim, La'asos Kol Mashe Yitzavim, Al Yadosh Shamoshe, and Kalal Yisrael accepted everything, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu will in the future command us through Moshe Rabbeinu, not in the future from our perspective, but in the future from their perspective, 3,500 years ago or so. But Kalal Yisrael said, what phrase is Ramban referencing? He's summarizing here, Yisrael Mishpatim. What phrase is he referencing? That Kalal Yisrael will mekabel everything that Hashem would in the future, not just what he told them, everything that Hashem would in the future tell them, Aydei Moshe Rabbeinu, Nasav Nishma. Right? That's the Nishma that's added. Ramban is saying again, just throwing in, as though there's no Chidushim, throwing in, what was the point of the Nishma? The point of the Nishma was that, because, and let me build it up more, Kalas already said Nasa at least twice, in Yisro and Mishpatim. They said just an unadorned Na'aseh. And then they say, further on in Mishpatim, Naaseh v'Nishma. So there's obviously significance to the Naaseh alone. The Ramban is L'chora without raising the Kasha, being Yashiv, that Kasha. Naaseh means we're prepared to accept whatever you already told us. You already gave us a handful of mitzvahs. We accept that. Naaseh v'Nishma means we're ready to accept not only what you already told us, but we understand that these are obvious. We're saying that this is a sampling of what's to come, and we're already mekabel in advance whatever else you're going to mitzava us as well. The Charzimon Brisal calls that. As we learned yesterday in Parashas Mishpatim, Moshe Rabbeinu is the broker for Bris Sinai, for the Bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, sealed with the Dam of the Karbam, that we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accepts, he's going to explain what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is accepting, what we're accepting. The bris means, lo la'am, lahem le'lokim. We are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people, absolutely. We're Am Hashem, and He is Elokei Yisrael. Kasher Hisnoim Ha'mitchila. That would have been HaKadosh Baruch Hu's initial offer. When he originally made the offer, at the beginning of the story of Har Sinai in Yisrael, that we had said, and that's the deal that gets sealed, that gets closed, in the end of Mishpatim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had originally said, if you're willing to listen, naseh v'nishma, and you're going to accept the bris, this is a permanent relationship, then ve'yisim li skula. You'll have this unique relationship as the Am School of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes on to say there, Atem Tihuli, Melechas Kohanim V'Gai Kadosh, will have unique access to Kedusha as a nation. V'hinehem Kedoshim. So we accepted the bris, so that that offer was sealed, that offer was finalized, that offer was realized. That means we're endowed with an added degree of Kedusha, Ru'uyim Shiyeh Bahem Mikdash, Asho Shechina So Beneihem. Oh, Rabban says, that's why the natural next step is there's going to be a place of Kedusha. Because now that we accepted Bris Sinai, we accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu's offer of being Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. We're Goy Kadosh. It makes sense to have a place that's miyuchad for Kedusha. Mikdash, that's what the word Mikdash means. If you study Arabic, you discover sometimes things about Hebrew that were staring you in the face, but you never noticed. For instance, in Arabic, you discover something called the locative mim. Mim is the Arabic equivalent of mim. When you have this is true in Hebrew, when you have a noun that begins with the letter mem, followed by the letters of the shoresh, it usually means that it's describing a place of doing that shoresh. So mishkan is a place of shechina. In Arabic, not exactly in Hebrew, a madrasa, you may have heard, is a place of darasa, of darasha, a place of learning. We don't use the word medrash in Hebrew to mean a place of being darish. You mean the activity of being darish. But Mishkan is one fantastic example. Mikdash is another fantastic example. Mishmar in Chumash, Mishmar in Yeshiva means something very different. But Mishmar in Chumash is a place where people are Nishmarim, where people are under guard. There are a number of examples. Mikdash is a place of Kedusha, the locket of men, a place of Kedusha. Now that we are people of holiness, a Goy Kadosh, a nation endowed with an added degree of Kedusha, so Ruim Shia Behem Mikdash, it makes sense we should have a Makom, by the way, Makom itself is a place of being. But Mikdash, a place of Kedusha. And that's why what? Number one, that's why the very first event, mitzvah, instruction, idea that the Torah describes immediately after the deal is sealed, the very end of Mishpatim is the sealing of the deal between Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. As Rabban is pointing out, what's Yisrael Mishpatim, how you understand the two halves of the story of Ma'amar Sinai? He says, number one, Yisrael focuses on the conveying of content of mitzvahs, and number two, Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's offer of a relationship. And Mishpatim is where Klal Yisrael accept the offer, and now the deal is sealed. The very next step in Chumash, V'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'Sochem. Why? So he says, oh, now I understand. I understand Smichas HaParashas fantastically. Now that you're a God cutter, so the natural next step is that makes sense that there can and needs to be both a place to dedicate to that Kedusha. And, he points out, it also explains something else. What's the first part of the telling of the Tzivui HaMishkan? A lot of parts of the Mishkan. Truma is full of details. What's the first element? The Aron. Is it always the first element in the telling of the Mishkan?
No.
Later on, Vayakla Pikudei, both when Moshe repeats these Tzivuim to Klal Yisrael, and when Klal Yisrael get to work, take a look what the Rabban says. Number one, this explains why the very first tzivui after our acceptance of Bris Sinai is the Mishkan. There are so many other areas of halacha, but the Mishkan comes first. Why? It's going to be a physical, geographical location dedicated to intense Kedusha, concentrated Kedusha. And Shami Daver Moshe, the Yitzaveh, B'nai Yisrael. And he says, and function number one, the primary function of the Mishkan, a Mikdash, a place of Kedusha, means that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to continue to convey mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs, to Moshe Rabbeinu and from Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael. That is the Mikdash. If that's a little surprising, Let's read on. Ikar chayfet hu b'mishkan mekom menuchas hashchina. The main purpose, the main interest, what was the primary mission, the primary function of the Mishkan was a place of a Mishkan, a place of Shekhinah, a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell. What does that mean? Nowadays there's a dwell is sort of a funny word that I think we usually only use when we're learning Chumash, to dwell, like vessel. You know, those words that if you're a kid in a yeshiva elementary school, you learn at a much younger age than the rest of the English-speaking world, juxtaposition, and vessel, and dwell. So there actually is now, recently, you've been watching the real estate signs, the last number of years, there's a real estate company named Dwell, which reminds you that the word dwell actually means to live somewhere, like a residence, which reminds you that when we say a Mishkan is a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants a place to dwell amongst the Jewish people, that means he's looking for an address. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for a dira betachtonim. He's looking for an address in Olam Hazeh. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's business address? Where is his DBA? So to speak. Eker chayfetu b'mishkan, mekom menuchas hashchina. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to, so to speak, rest his shechina? Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to... Now, in our terminology, when we think about, let's say you have a home address or two home addresses, some have, as well as your dorm address, right? So your dorm address might be where you are most nights of the week, but, you know, the home address is where you leave your stuff, it's where you can go back to, it's where maybe a place that feels particularly homey. Obviously, if your home address is a couple thousand miles away, it changes the calculus somewhat. But I imagine it's true even if your home address, and maybe particularly if your home address is a couple of thousands away from your dorm address, that there's something special about going back to that space, and there's stuff that you're only going to access because you're not packing everything into suitcases on the plane. And this, you come back to the home address, that stuff where you're, you know, where you're going to, you have certain things you're going to access, certain things you leave there, and vice versa. The dorm is certain things you leave in the dorm. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these are true for people, and they're mishalim when we use them in the context of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's important to recognize what the mishalim are, so you can begin to appreciate. And mashal is there to give us some more insight into the nimshal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a place to dwell, a mishkan, a place of shina, a place where, so to speak, he leaves his stuff, an address where he can meet with others. I don't know if you want to think about it more as a home address or as an office address, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a place to put his Shechina down. HaShor Shechina Sol B'nayim. And to thereby have an address near... I hesitate to give political mashalim because of the cynicism that so many of us have about politicians. But nevertheless... So let's say you have a congressman. See, he has his office, obviously, in Washington, in the Rayburn Building, one of the other office buildings. And then he also will have an office in his local district, where constituents can interact with him. I say, if you're one of those constituents that actually makes the trip to Washington, so you can go meet him, you know, in the office in D.C. But he also has an office in New Jersey, or in Wyoming, or in California, wherever his district is, a local office where the constituents can, a local address near the constituents. So the Habdil Alfe Abdallah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted an address among his constituents. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted an address among the people. L'hashro Shechina So B'nehem, a place where you can have Hashro HaShechina intermingled with Klal Yisrael. L'chein Tziva Tchila Al Dvar HaMishkan, a bayis b'socha makudash l'shmo, B'sham yidaber Moshe, and the main thing is going to be the mitzvahs, the Torah, the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's going to be now headquartered. Up until now, it's been a little bit looser. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing to Moshe Rabbeinu? Once we'll have a Mishkan, then the Pesuk goes on to say, Kisis also, until the Mishkan was up and running, Moshe Rabbeinu's Ohel was the quote-unquote Ohel Moed. But once there's going to be a Mishkan, there's going to be an organized location where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will meet with Moshe Rabbeinu, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will convey Torah mitzvahs to Moshe Rabbeinu. The main purpose is a place for Hashra'as HaShchina, a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rest his presence, so to speak. Well, what is Shchina? In very loose terms, I'm not a Kabbalist. Maybe you are. I'm not. I imagine you're not either. But I think in non-Kabbalistic terminology, and my father was fond of coining from the Rambam, the Mor Nevuchim, that Shchina is also a creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's one God, Hashem Echad. Shchina is not like a separate deity, Rechman al-Tzlam. That is utter avodah zarah. But Shchina is it literally means presence, being somewhere. So Shchina is some sort of spiritual light. Easy first approximation, probably. A Kadosh Baruch Hu created something that will at times indicate to people that he is, their Ribbono Shel Olam is particularly present in a particular location. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is intensely present in a certain place, so he'll have a flag to indicate that he's here. So what's the flag to indicate he's here? There's a certain light, Hashra'as HaShchina. He'll rest that sense, that indicator that he's present, for us to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, particularly present in a given location. Hashra'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be particularly present in a place in Olam Hazeh. That is the Mikdash. And therefore, the focus point of the epicenter of Hashra'as HaShchina Olam Hazeh is the Aron. Kamo she'nemar, no'alti l'cha sham, v'dibarti itcha me'ala kaporet. That's a pasuk later. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, it's going to be when you can have a Mikdash, so I'm going to meet with you from on top of the Mikdash. As Rashi explains at length, at the very beginning of Chumash Vayikra, that he describes the way once the Mishkan was up and running, Moshe Rabbeinu would walk into the Olam Moed, into the outer room, and there would be a particularly strong Hashra'as HaShchina, you don't understand exactly what this means, out on top of the Kaporas, the cover of the Aron, Mibein Shnei Akruvim, and the sound would emerge from there, and the Nevuah would emerge from there, and hit Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what he lain about on Zos Chanukah, the very end of Parshas Naso. So that explains what? And that's why the first item described in Parshas Truma is the Aron. Which is strange. Because it wasn't necessarily, it wasn't the hardest to make. It wasn't the biggest. It wasn't the smallest. It wasn't the item that people interacted with the most. It wasn't the item that people saw the most. As a matter of fact, there are no mitzvos that are directly associated with the Aron, unless you're going to talk about the Hazas Hadam on Yom Kippur. Almost no one ever sees the Aron. Why is that first? That's in the back room. And yet, here it comes first. And as you pointed out, here it comes first. Even though later on it doesn't. It's, if you understand the function, if Mishkan... And here's the subtext of the Ramban. If Mishkan is all about karbanos, then we should have started with the Mizbeach. Mizbeach HaNechosh is a karbanos that brought Mizbeach HaKetores. Mizbeach HaZarv HaKetores is brought. We could have spoken about the Shulchan and the menorah, all the functional parts of the Mishkan that we interact with on a daily or weekly basis. Every day, you can't bring karbanos on the Mizbeach HaNechosh. Every day, Karam burning Ketores, and Mizbeach HaKetores. Every day, every night, the Kohanim are busy with the menorah. Every week, the Kohanim are busy with the Lacha Panim on the Shulchan. But the Aron, Man Tchar Shmei. Why is that first? It seems so out of order. So Rabban says, no. It seems so out of order if the purpose of the Mishkan is Karbanos. Another thing that seems so out of place is, as we began with, why is the Mishkan here at all? Why is this the end of Sefer Shmos as opposed to the beginning of Sefer Vayikra? It should have been called Sefer Truma. It is called Sefer Torah's Common. So why is it here and not there? So he says, yeah, if you think the Mishkan is all about Karbanos, then the organization, the sequencing seems very awkward. But he says, that's a mistake. Once you realize that if you don't have clarity about purpose, a lot of things are going to be askew. If you have clarity what your purposes are, what your goals are, what your functions are, you have clarity where you're trying to get to, as we've seen again and again in the Seals of Sharm. Once you have clarity where you're trying to get to, then the pieces fall into place. So if Maisa Machshava Tchilas, you know where you're getting to, then you can talk about the steps to get there. Ah, so once you have clarity about the mission of the Mishkan, which was, as Ramban says, the Rebbe begins to say, it was meant to be a place of Kedusha, a place of Nevuah, a place of meeting, a place for Klal Yisrael to come meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if at its core it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's address in Olam Hazeh, so what drives Hashruas HaShchinah is the Aron, which itself needs some more thinking about, but we'll get back to that soon. Okay, Hiktim Aron HaKaparas Bekan, Ki Muktim B'mayla. Aron Kaparas are the tops in terms of level, not just in terms of level of Kedusha, but in terms of purpose. Teleologically, the Samach La'aron Hashulchan Amenorah Shem Kelim Kamohu Yarul Ina Mishkan Shabavu Ram Naasa, and then begin to talk about the other Kelim as well, the Shulchan Menorah and so forth. But he says, but later on, Moshe hiked in Parshas Vayakel as Hamishkan as all of its Mechseu. Moshe presents it to Klal Yisrael. He begins by talking about building the walls and the roof, the Ohel, the Mechse, so forth. Chenasa Bitzal, when Bitzal actually implements and actually builds these parts, Lefishu hu ra'ui l'kadein b'masa. Practically speaking, you're not going to build the purpose first. Practically speaking, you're going to build the shell, the walls, the building, the edifice, and then you're going to install. You're not going to build the aron, then it's out in the open. So practically speaking, in terms of implementation, you got to adopt the order of Vayakel Pikudei. But in concept, you start just like a writer begins with a thesis sentence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins the description of the Mishkan with the purpose. The thesis is Zeh, is the Aron. And then he says, usually when the Ramban writes the word sod, that means skip to the next paragraph. But we can read maybe a few more lines, because this is something that he already had spoken about a little bit in the Hakadama without, I believe, the term sod. The sod ha-mishkan hu, what's the deeper meaning of the mishkan? Sheyeh ha-kavod asher shachan al har Sinai, shochein alav b'nistar. The kavod that had rested on har Sinai is now going to rest b'nistar in a more hidden fashion in the mishkan. What do you mean kavod? He says, you'll notice the word kavod was used earlier. K'mo shenem ha-sham. In the context of har Sinai, v'yashken kvod Hashem, Vaishkan, Kvod Hashem al-Har Sinai. That we had earlier in Mishpatim. The glory of HaKadosh Baruch, the honor of HaKadosh Baruch who rested upon Har Sinai. And again, V'hein her'on l'Hashem Elokeinu es kivodo, es gadlo. So you find the language of Kvod Hashem, we use Shechina on the mountaintop, temporarily by Mamon Har Sinai. And then again by Mishkan. The Hizkiyah Mishkan, Shnei Pa'amim, Kavod Hashem, Malayas HaMishkan. That corresponds to Kavodova Gadlo. Ha'ev Mishkan, Tamid in Yisrael, HaKavod, Shenir Lehem Bar Sinai. There was always in the Mishkan, it was a continuation of the Ma'amar Har Sinai experience. Then it goes on to say, and particularly the fact that the Mishkan was the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu continued to teach Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, that captured a further level of the continuation of Har Sinai at the Mishkan for the next couple of decades. So what's Ramban saying? Take a step back. He's giving you pieces. Let's put it together a little bit. Ramban is saying, let's put it in the context of Rashi. Rashi understands that although Kisisa comes after Truma Tetzaveh, it happened beforehand. Rashi is more liberal in his application of the principle that governs the first paragraph of Sakhan, that Ein Muktam Ucher BaTorah, and therefore Rashi assumes that even though the story of the Egel HaZav is written in Kisisa after Truma Tetzaveh, but in fact it happened beforehand. Rashi understands that the Truma Tetzaveh, the Tzivui, to build Mishkan, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, one of his later trips up Har Sinai after the Egel HaZav. Kaiso Rechote, in the time the Egel Azav, and now we need a kapara, now we have to bring karbanos, now we better have a mishkan to make sure that we have an ongoing place for kapara. That's the approach of Rashi. And the Rabban here and elsewhere, instead of the Rabban, you can look inside, you can look in Bahari, you can look back at the Akdama to Shmos. The Rabban consistently rejects that idea. The Mishkan is not primarily about karbanos. The Mishkan is primarily about Shrina. Karbanos are a detail, an important detail, but a detail. The Mishkan is a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to continue to have a relationship with us. That's what he's looking for. And as Ramban wrote towards the end of what we read, the part that's al pisod, that the Mishkan was meant to be, in some sense, a continuation of the Har Sinai experience. Har Sinai was very, very intense, but entirely ephemeral. It came and went, and there was no permanent Kedusha in Har Sinai. So he says, this could be Benister in a less intense version, but a more permanent fashion, a continuation of Mamon Har Sinai. And that's why it's once you have a place that's miyuchad for kedusha, that's miyuchad for rendezvous with that between Kaddish Shalom and Kaddish Baruch Hu. So of course, it's also the natural place to bring karbanos. It's the best place to bring karbanos, but that's not the primary purpose of Mishkan. The primary purpose of Mishkan is to have an ongoing place of kedusha and connection between Kaddish Baruch Hu and Kaddish Shalom, to have an ongoing hemshah on some level of Har Sinai. That's why the Aaron comes first. That's why, as he points out, the Torah describes the Mishkan as Va'asuli Mikdash V'Shachanti V'Socham. It doesn't say Va'asuli Mikdash or Va'asuli Mizbeach, which, by the way, is a place of Zavicha, a place of Shechting Karbanos. The Mishkan as a whole is not described as a Mizbeach, a place of Karbanos, because it's not as a whole a place of karbanos. It's overall a mikdash. It's a place of kedusha. It's a mishkan, a place of hashras hashkina. There are particular zones within the mishkan that are mizbachos. There are places of zavicha, but that's not the primary purpose. Rambam. The Torah told us. Omen the chumash should take a look at the Rambam. The Torah told us. It's a place of hashras hashkina. That's why the arad in concept comes first. That also explains. Why it's here and not there. Why Truma Tetzava Yaakov Pikude, not only why Truma Tetzava before Kisis, the Rabban Lashitaso, that Ein Mukne Mukher Batorah is a very limited principle. It says Truma Tetzava came for Kisis because the Tzivui was given the first time Moshe Rabbeinu was in Har Sinai, or maybe even before he went up to Har Sinai, but certainly before the Tzivui of Mishkan predated the Egel Azav, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get a chance to tell the Jewish people about it till later, because he came down Shivas Batamas and he had to deal with the Egel Azav. But it was already in the plans, Milach HaTchila. But it's more than that. Not only does it explain why Trumat Tzav is before Kisisa, it explains why Trumat Tzav Yav Tehudeh are in Shemos and not Bayikra. Because it's not primarily about a Makam of Karbanos. It's not primarily a Mizbeach. It's primarily a continuing Mamad Har Sinai. And as the Ramban writes and indicates very briefly in the Akdama to Sefer Shmos, if Sefer Shmos as a whole is a Sefer of Gaulus and Geula, so he says Geula means not just getting free, Geula means returning to the original Madrega of the Avos back in Eretz Yisrael, Soda Eloka, Alea Aleim, they had Ashras Hashkina in their homes. So the Ramban says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, political freedom, in order to enable us to experience the spiritual freedom. Incha ben Chorin l'misha osik b'Torah, the spiritual freedom of Torah mitzvahs, and that was an incredible madrega. But that was only going to be complete once there was a permanent opportunity for that ongoing Ashras Hashkina, which is Truma Tetzava v'Yachlo Pikudei, leading up to not only completing the construction of the Mishkan, but it actually works in the closing psukim of Pikudei. HaKadosh Baruch was actually Mashu Shkinasu Aleim, and now we're back to where we began. The very beginning of Shmos. Eil Shmos Bnei Yaakov Bnei Yisrael Bo Mitzrayim Eis Yaakov Ishu Veis Obo. We started with a brief moment of knowing that Yaakov was leaving that ideal situation he had in Eretz Yisrael with Sodel Kaalei Aleim, and now we're finally back to that. We're finally back to that by the end of Sefer Shmos. The cycle is complete. The cosine curve, so to speak, has returned back to the top level. We're back to that top level. We had left off the beginning of Shmos with Klal Yisrael rapidly falling down, 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 very far away from a Hashras, Hashchina in Beis Yisrael, and now it's finally back at the end of the Sefer, and that's where Shmos can finally complete. Because this, by making Sinai permanent, as Ramban explains here, it was bringing Klal Yisrael back in some sense to the Madrega of the Avos in Eretz Yisrael, having ongoing Hashras, Hashchina among them. That is very powerful. That is very, very powerful. There's more to say we spoke in the past by the Sheet of the Rambam. Seems to blend Rashi and Rambam together. But this is very, very powerful. This idea that the purpose of... There are many ideas going on here. And among them, the idea that the purpose of Mamon Har Sinai was not just to be a one-off. The purpose of Mamon Har Sinai was meant to set things up that would last. Which we know it was a permanent set of mitzvahs that endure, and a permanent status also of the Goy Kadosh. Not only that we have specific mitzvahs to do, but that the mitzvahs endow us with Kedusha and give us access to dreaming of a God-centered life. That's a dream and that's an expectation. These are important ideas to think about in the next couple weeks. That is the major theme. The major theme of the second half of Sefer Shmos is the profound potential of a Jew and the profound potential of Am Yisrael.